L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I'm John Batsu with my colleague and friend David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is Hotel Mars. Hotel Mars Venus version. We are happy to be speaking with two planetary geologists, Laboratory for Atmospheric and Space Physics at the University of Colorado Boulder, Aaron Kanji and Bethan Gregory, two of the authors of a new piece at Nature magazine, the peer-reviewed top, Venus Water Loss is Dominated by HCO Plus Dissociative Recombination, which I now know to call DR. But before I go any further, Bethan has made it very clear to me that while DR is important on Venus, very important, it is only one of the ways that Mars lost its water. Did I say that correctly, Bethan?
Yes. Thank you.
So DR on Mars contributes to the loss of water, but it's everything on Venus. And Aaron, I come to you. Did the volcanoes come first, contributing carbon dioxide to the atmosphere 96%? Or did the water come first or simultaneously? How do we imagine it?
Yeah, and there's a little bit of uncertainty still about the history of the planets. But from what we know, you can get a lot of water into a planetary atmosphere or the surface. So, for example, on early Venus, due to volcanic activity, which can bring it up from the interior. But it's also possible that some water was delivered via comets or asteroids or really any sort of projectile that might have impacted Venus in its early days. So there's sort of some supply from below and some supply from above.
David, you have a question for Aaron or Bethany?
I do. Again, either one. It seems to me that the purpose for water being on a planet, even hundreds of millions of years ago or longer, would be for something living. So you may tell me that that's not exactly correct, and I would welcome that information. But on the assumption that I'm at least marginally correct, is there any way that any something dealing with life, even microbial or plant life, might be detected on Venus since it had water many hundreds of millions of years ago?
Bethany?
This is one of the big questions that motivates our work. And that's why we want to think about whether there was water in Venus's atmosphere and maybe even at the surface in the past. Could Venus's surface have been a habitable environment? And this question of how does hydrogen escape from the atmosphere can help us to think about where the water went and how long water might have been around on the surface of Venus, perhaps, Mars, perhaps, and other planets, even outside the solar system.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what are your thoughts on that matter?
Yeah, so it's definitely true that water is necessary. As far as we know, liquid water is necessary for life to exist. But again, we only have one data point, and that's Earth. We do see liquid water other places in the solar system, such as coming out in plumes from Enceladus, which is a moon of Saturn. But we don't know if there's life out there in the outer solar system on Enceladus or the other moons that have liquid water under their surfaces. So that's still a major open question. As for Venus, if it was ever habitable and had life on it, it would most likely have been in the distant past. But we really don't know if the water that used to be on Venus was ever in the form of an ocean, so like liquid on the surface, or if it was actually all built up in the atmosphere as steam. It's still a big open question in science that we are trying to figure out. We do know that water flowed once on the surface of Mars. So if we're interested in maybe finding evidence of past life on either Venus or Mars, Mars is a more likely place to look. But again, still totally uncertain whether that life was ever actually there.
You know, this becomes something of a fairy tale, ladies. We have one bowl of porridge is too hot. one bowl of porridge is too cold and one bowl of porridge is just right, and that would be Earth. Aaron, did we get lucky? We had volcanoes. We had water. We had we're right between Mars and Venus. Are we in a lucky spot, or is that something to be solved in the future?
It is pretty lucky. So Earth is right in the middle of the habitable zone. It's very interesting to think about, like, how are we so lucky that we got just in the right place so that life could exist on Earth? But of course, if we hadn't been, we wouldn't be here to ask that question. So it's kind of a circular thing. But this description is a really good one, because we often think about it that way, in terms of picturing what goes on Venus, what goes on Earth, what goes on Mars. They really do describe this sort of spectrum of planetary habitability, or as you put it, the Goldilocks situation with the porridge is too hot and the porridge is too cold on one side and then just right in the middle. So yeah, Earth is the just right porridge.
And she went up and fell asleep in the bed. Bethany, is this useful, this analysis of Venus, for exoplanets, for what they're finding now, exoplanets with atmospheres? Can they use this understanding of where the water went, or water in the atmosphere?
Yes, definitely. It's very applicable to our study of exoplanets, because compared to exoplanets, Venus and Mars are right on our doorstep. And there's a lot of information that we can get from observing them and modeling their atmospheres that we can't get from exoplanet studies right now. And so in a way, Venus and Mars are great laboratories for understanding some of the processes that can happen on planetary bodies and what could be happening on planets outside the solar system.
David, you have a question. We have about a minute.
So we have been told by many scientists and planetary geologists, some I might add from NASA, that there is a really Earth-like sweet spot in the upper Venusian atmosphere, around 50 or so kilometers, that might someday, for big dreamers and big vision people, be a floating tourist spot or a floating settlement city or something. Does your finding confirm, negate, or have anything to do with that sweet spot?
Aaron?
It's a little bit tangential. You're right that in part of the Venus atmosphere, the pressure and temperature are such that maybe you could build a floating city there if you had that sort of technology in the distant future. But that sounds like it would be pretty challenging to do. So there might be other places in the solar system where it would be easier to send humans first than the Venus clouds.
We thank Beth and Gregory and Aaron Kanji, two of the authors on Venus Water is Dominated by HCODR. Where'd the water go? David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Annabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.